Hey guys, thanks so much for joining us here at Sandals Church, because here we are all about being real with ourselves, being real with God, and being real with others. And if you want to dive deeper into what that vision is and what that means for your life, you can do so by checking out the Real Workshops. You can find those at sandalschurch.com/workshops. And there's something we want you to be a part of. So thanks for joining us and have a great week.
Welcome, welcome. Man, I hope your week was great. I'm glad you're here. On the way home from work this last week, I was on my way home and I got a phone call from one of my daughters, which, you know, I don't always get. They tend to call their mom first. So I pick up the phone, you know, while I'm driving. Hey, how's it going? She says, not good. I said, what's up? She says, mom's mad. I said, what'd you do? You know what kids say? Nothing. Nothing. Oh, mom's mad for no reason. Yeah. I said, well, what's going on? She wants me to come home for a family meeting. She says, I don't know if I should come home. I said, I'll check it out. I come home. My son meets me at the door. Dad, what, son? Mom's got this look in her eye. I don't know what to do. I said, lay low. Lay low. So I go in to talk with my wife, and she says, we got to have a family meeting. I said, what about? I was worried it was me. She says, the kids. I was like, let's have a meeting. So we all go in there, right? And the kids are looking at me like, I'm going to save them. We can make more of you. Right? I mean, Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. Why not me? And so my wife starts sharing her heart. She starts talking about her last week and what it's been like to cook, to clean, to prepare. And when you cook in our house, it's not easy. Just so you know this, if it's not pre-trib rapture, the Browns are dead. I don't think the Antichrist is going to serve gluten-free anything. Like, we're all gone. We're dead. You need a new leader if we don't get raptured. So she's got to make sure, you know, everyone's allergic to something. So cooking anything that doesn't taste like cardboard takes work. And so she slaves and she works hard and the meal's immaculate. It's spectacular. We take a trip together and we go out to restaurants, right? When I was a kid, we went out to restaurants once a year. Once a year. Our kids call that Tuesday, right? They don't get it. Anybody, did your parents used to set limits on how much you could spend? Anybody's parents do that? When we go to McDonald's, my limit was $2. It was tough, man. You had to make decisions. Coke or fries, right? You got to make a decision. So you can't get both. My kids, man, they just spend things, buy things. And my wife starts laying into them, and I'm just watching. Because she might kill someone, and it needs to not be me. She starts laying into them, man. Laying into them. And at first, my kids are defensive, right? Because we all are. I'm not ungrateful. I've said thank you before. She's just laying in, laying in, laying in. And finally, man, I watch my kids break. Break. They're afraid. They start crying. We start going around talking about, look, man, we need to be thankful. We need to be grateful. You don't know all the things your mom has done. And so when she asks, can you help with the dishes, and you get a like you need more time on your phone. Oh my gosh, I'm playing this very important video game. My thumbs are currently occupied. Right? We're so disturbed when someone calls us to an attitude of thankfulness. We're so put out by all the things that people do every single, we don't notice. We don't pay attention. Like on Thanksgiving Day, I'm ashamed to say this, my wife was up preparing. I was prepping by sleeping. Right? It's embarrassing. But the meal was immaculate. It was fantastic. And the kids don't care. Right? All this work is put into this. All this time. All this effort. All this energy. And my wife's looking at our girls and she's like, one day you're going to be expected to cook something that doesn't kill people. Right? And they're put out by it. But the reality is, man, we have the same attitude when we come into church. Like, we expect to be served. And we're not thankful for all the work, all the volunteers, all the hours that everybody's put in so you could sit and be fed.
And you're like, I don't even like that meal. I don't even like that sermon.
Right? By nature, as Americans, we're critics. We are critics. Anybody ever buy something on Amazon and read the comment section? It's scary, isn't it? Like, what is this, the devil? What did we buy? I don't know. What? It's amazing. It's amazing. It's amazing how critical we've become. Like hotel chains, we all expect like we're at the Ritz-Carlton. You're at the Motel 6. That's what you paid for. Right? It's crazy. So I want to challenge you today. I don't know where you are. But I know in our family, we had to have a come to Jesus conversation about thankfulness. I think we as a family need to have a come to Jesus moment about thankfulness. And you say, about what? Well, let's start with the Word of God. Since, the Word of God says, since, right? Since God has done this for you, since we are receiving a what? A meal? A kingdom. You are princesses and princes in the kingdom of God, since we're receiving it, that praise God is unshakable. It's not in Alaska. Amen. That's an earthquake. Man, since we are receiving a kingdom that is unshakable. You see, in the ancient world, when there was an earthquake, you didn't repair the city. You moved. You just left. It's done. So all the stones fell and you just go somewhere else. So it says we're receiving a kingdom that's unshakable. Everything in our world is shaking. Everything in our world is trembling. Everything that we thought we knew is changing and we're freaking out. And he says, since we're receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, what is the natural normative response? Let us be thankful. Let us be thankful. And please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. See, that's what my kids forgot about mom. They forgot holy fear and awe. And I witnessed it, and it was awesome. It was awesome. Like, I can kill them with my muscles, but she can do it with a look. Some of you need a look from God. You need to have a stare down with Jesus. And you need to check your heart. You need to look at yourself. Since we're receiving a kingdom that's unshakable, let us be thankful. Thankfulness is a choice. You say, for what? For what Jesus has done. I don't know if you know this, but the Bible says judgment will start with the household of God. Do you know who God's going to talk to first? His family. Christians. And that's a conversation many of you are not ready for. Because you've spent your whole life mad at what God hasn't done. You've never thanked him for what he has done. And that's a conversation. And we need to worship him with holy fear and awe. We should have an incredible respect for who God is and what he's done for us. So I want you to write this down. I'm going to try to help you be more thankful. I don't know. I know you don't want to be thankful. Some of you are wishing that your friend who really needs to hear this message would be here today. Well, let's just assume for a second God has you here today for a reason. And you need to hear this message. Write this down. I am more thankful. I'm more thankful when I am less critical. Criticism is not a spiritual gift.
You're like, that's my gift. It's my gift. I can point out what's wrong faster than anyone. Yay, you.
That's not God's spirit in you. It's a different spirit. I am more thankful when I'm less critical. Look, you want to appreciate your marriage? Stop criticizing your spouse. Stop criticizing. Well, they used to let me do marriage counseling. This is what I would say. I want you to write down everything that's wrong with your spouse. Everything you want me to change. I'm a magician. Write it all down. Man, people would take half an hour.
I'm going to be thorough.
Give me the piece of paper. So now what I want you to do is I want you to go in the room and I want you to write down everything that's wrong with you. 2 minutes later, they're like, it's amazing. Amazing. What's wrong with your spouse? They present a Bible. What's wrong with you? It's a note card. Well, I kind of love too much. I give too much grace and I'm way too generous. Wow, Captain Authentic, right? I'm more thankful when I'm less critical. If you want to appreciate your marriage, stop criticizing it. Stop pointing out what's wrong with everybody else and start learning to say thank you. Throughout this series, I've been doing something. We have a high school kid. We're in drive-thru a lot. Why? Because we're driving through life. That's what we're doing. When you have teenagers, you're a taxi cab driver or Uber driver, but you don't get paid, right? They need a lift, but they don't even talk to you. You just take them wherever they gotta go. And so we go through drive-thru. You know what I've been doing lately? I, in drive-thru at a fast food restaurant, have been saying thank you. And you would think I'm punching people in the face. Like they think I want something free. I kid you not. I kid you not, at Baker's, this gal had a long pause. You're welcome. We're good. My work is done. And I drove off. She doesn't know what to do. Maybe the reason your kids don't say thank you is they've never seen you say thank you. Oh, right? I am more thankful when I'm less critical. Colossians, we're going to spend all of our time today in Colossians chapter 3, just a few verses. But Paul writes to the church in Colossae, a church like Sandals, just 2,000 years older, full of imperfect people, full of ungrateful people, full of irritable people, full of sinners. And this is what he says, since God chose you to be the holy people he loves. I want you to circle that word, chose. You see, a lot of you guys believe falsely that you were on a search for God and found him. Always cracks me up, people. I found Jesus like he was lost. When my kids were little, man, inevitably we would lose them. I'm not proud of it, but it happened. We would lose them. I remember one day in Target finding Madison, a three-year-old. I found her. She says, I found you, Dad. I said, I was not lost, but you're going to wish you were. Come here. Listen to me. Do you know that God chose you? You're not the one looking for God. God's been looking for you. You're the one that's lost. He found you. And see, if you get it backwards from the beginning, you're never going to be thankful. You're never going to be thankful. You ever think about if you were taught about Christ as a little child? Have you ever said, thanks, God, for giving me the parents that I have? Thank you. Thank you that I met a Christian friend in college. Does anybody know how the roommate game goes? It's not always great. You can get a psychopath. Some of you got a born-again Christian that wanted to save your soul. You're like, yeah, whatever. Some of you made eyes with someone who was really good looking, and then all of a sudden you were curious about God because you were curious about them, right? Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy. I want you to notice he doesn't say you should pray about. You should pray about being a better person. It says you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and the one I hate, patience. Make an allowance for each other's faults. Why? Have you looked around? Have you looked around? We're on the freeway, literally last night, watching two people in a road rage incident at 70 miles an hour, trying to punk each other with their cars. Like you've never cut someone off in your life. How dare you? You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna act just as irresponsible as you are, and I'm gonna put my life at risk and everyone else around us to prove you're a moron. It was terrifying. Absolutely terrifying. You gotta make an allowance for each other's faults. That includes their driving. Oh. And forgive anyone who offends you. Do you feel like as Americans, we need to work on being more offended? Does anybody feel like we're lacking? Like we're just not offended enough, right? Do you know an American today, you can be offended that someone else is offended. Oh, you're offended? Well, I'm offended that you're offended. I take an offense at your offense, right? Forgive anyone who offends you. Oh, that's offensive. Well, forgive anyone who offends you. Well, Jesus didn't mean that. Yes, he did. Why? Remember, the Lord forgave you. Oh, that's offensive. Yes. So you should pray about forgiving others. Oh, there's a word there again. Seems to be repeated. Must. Must. Isn't it amazing how we're mad at everybody else when they don't do the right thing, but we have to pray about doing the right thing? Can you imagine if your children were as obedient to you, to God? Or excuse me, can you imagine if your children were as obedient to you as you are to God? Take out the trash. I'm gonna pray about that, Dad. Gonna get together in my small group and we're really gonna just study God's word to see if we should do that. It's ridiculous, isn't it? Oh, this sermon gets worse. Are you ready for it? You're gonna hate this, but it's so good. The people I am the most critical of are critical to my spiritual growth. Some of you are so in love with yourselves because you love people who love you. I just love my kids and my husband, and I'm so much like Jesus. Like only Christians love their kids. Like only Christians love their spouse. What makes Christians amazing is they love people that no one loves, that no one likes. The people I am the most critical of are critical to my spiritual growth. I'm not becoming like Christ until I learn to love the people I can't stand. I love these churches that are popping up everywhere. We just gather together with our friends and we study God's word together. That's our church. No, that's your club. Because the church is you go invite the people you can't stand and you hang out with them. That's the church. Oh, it's just me and my friends. Right? Or it's just me and my family. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said when Mary came to see him, he said, "Who is my mother and father?" Those who do the will of God. He said, "Mary, you can wait." Ooh. The people I'm most critical of are critical to my spiritual growth. 1 Timothy 2:1, I urge you, first of all, to pray, circle this word, for all people. You say, why? Have you met people? Have you met them? They are in desperate need of prayer. Right? I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people and ask God to kill them. That's not what it says. Lord, I don't want to kill them, but you're God Almighty. And if it's their time, Lord, I would encourage you to bring that about quickly. Amen. I urge you, first of all, to pray for all people and ask God to what? Help them. Help them. Intercede. You know what that means? Step into their shoes. Step into their situation and pray for them. pray on their behalf. Well, they don't even love God. They don't even believe in God. Look, it doesn't matter. You're not called to act on their faith. You're called to act on yours. Intercede on their behalf. This is horrible. And give thanks for them. Oh, dear God, thank you for my boss. He's a moron. Boy, is he challenging my faith. What if in heaven all we have to do is listen to each other's prayers about each other? You prayed that for me? You thought I was a moron and insensitive? Can you imagine if you just heard the people that are praying for you? Oh my gosh, Lord, I pray for Matt. He's a moron. I don't know. It says, and give thanks for them. Here's what Jesus said. He made it worse. He says, you've heard the law. That's the Bible, the first five books. He says, you've heard the law. It says, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. He says, but I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Oh. Do you know why we need to learn to love our enemies? Because our friends are not always honest. Like when you ask your friends for feedback, you put them at risk. Hey guys, am I a jerk? No, not at all. Who would say that? That's crazy. Right? Listen, your friends, it's hard for your friends to be honest with you because honesty can put your friendship at risk. Raise your hand if you're married. Raise your hands. Just try this tonight. You want me to be honest? Tweet me at 4 a.m. Tweet me. You're going to be up. Why? You were honest. But you know, here's the benefit of your enemy. They don't care how it makes you feel. They don't care. They just call it the way they see it. And you know what the problem is? Sometimes they see what we don't. Sometimes our enemy has more clarity of what's going on in our life. Do you know why that is? Because we judge our intentions and not our actions. Well, I didn't mean to slap your face. I don't know what happens. Sometimes it just does that. Write this down. If I don't devote myself to a thankful heart, I will develop a critical spirit. And some of you are like, so what? So I got a critical spirit. You don't know what that is. It's not the Lord. It's demonic. It's demonic. Colossians 4:2 says this, devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a what? A thankful heart. Through this series, I cannot tell you how convicted I have been in my prayer life. Thanks has been such a neglected part of my prayer life. I don't know about you, but my prayer life looks a lot more like drive-through. God, I'll have a burger, Baker number 5, right? I mean, all the things that I want. Here's all the things I need you to do, God, and I've never thanked him for what he's done for me. When's the last time that you've said thanks on a regular basis? Thank you, Lord. I want you to circle the word that says devote. We live in a culture that doesn't know what this word means. We're not devoted to each other. We're not devoted to the church. And we're certainly not devoted to God. We live in a culture that abandons friendships, relationships, marriages, and their faith as soon as it doesn't go our way. We have to learn to be devoted. We have to learn to press beyond our feelings and into our faith. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Look, Christianity is not a cult. God wants you to use your brain and your heart. He wants both of them engaged. So how do we develop a more thankful heart? Filling up on love for others empties my critical spirit. How can I love someone else? How can I care for someone else? So we're back in Colossians 3. Now we're in verse 14. It says, above all, clothe yourselves with love. So when you have a disagreement, it's okay to disagree, but you need to clothe the argument in love. At the end of the day, when my wife and I disagree and when we fight, the end of the day is that we're still in love and the marriage remains. That's the goal, not winning the argument. When I correct my children, the goal is not that I mesh them into my own image and I beat them into submission, although that may be my heart at times. My goal is that my kids know that I love them. And our culture understands many things about love, but one of the things it doesn't understand about love is that love always speaks the truth. Above all, clothe yourselves in love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. Look, are we bound together as a church because we're all Democrats, or because we're all Republicans, or independents, or just confused? What binds us together is not our political affiliation, but our love for Jesus and his command that if we love him, we have to love each other, even when we don't agree. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. This is the verse that we went over last week. You sit on the throne, or God sits on the throne. You cannot love right unless your heart is conquered by Jesus. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace. And always, always be thankful. Always. Man, this week I've been corresponding with a guy in our church who's battling terminal cancer. Came out of nowhere. Big, strong guy. A lot of life ahead. Out of nowhere, scary form of cancer. He talked to me about his week this week. You know what he does when he goes to chemo? He brings gifts for everybody that's in there. It blows my mind. Blows my mind. Thanks the doctors and the nurses for their care. Sees it as an opportunity for ministry. Here's how his last text read to me. He said, Matt, I'm so thankful for how God has me in my greatest trial. When so many would turn to bitterness, when so many would throw up their hands, point their finger at God, lose their faith, he's thinking of all the others whose lives have been turned upside down. And as he has to inject poison into his body to kill the disease, he has love in his heart and gratitude to God, and it's spilling out on others. So how do you know? How do you know if you have a critical spirit? Or if you're a Christian, how do you know if you have the Holy Spirit? You see, if you're a Christian, when you invite Jesus Christ to become the Lord of your life, the Holy Spirit of God dwells inside you. God lives in me. He lives in me. We don't go to the temple as Christians. As Christians, we are the temple. God dwells in us. So how do I know if I'm being led by the Holy Spirit as a Christian that's in me, or if I'm being led by a critical spirit that's growing in me? Write this down. A critical spirit focuses on what others are doing wrong. And isn't that easy? Isn't that easy? Oh my gosh, my son's playing basketball, and I've had to talk to him about how he talks to the refs. Then I have to talk to me about how I talk to the refs. At the game this week, my wife said, if you don't stop, I'm moving. That's how bad I was. Why? I'm reffing the refs. That's what some of you are doing. Foul! Foul, 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 foul! Show me the book in the Bible where God made you judge. He has one. His name is Jesus. I don't care if your name's Jesus. It's not you. It's not you. Right? It's not you. Show me the verse in the Bible where it says, I am God's referee. That's a critical spirit. It focuses on what people are doing wrong. Do you know why it's so easy to have a critical spirit? Have you seen people and what they're doing? It's rarely right. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit focuses on how I need to respond right. And let me tell you something I've learned about myself. My initial reaction is rarely the Holy Spirit. Like sometimes I'll say things to my wife, I see her face and I say, it'll get better, I promise, just stick around. That was just my first thought, my sinful thought. We're gonna back up from that, we're gonna repent, and we're gonna listen to God. Ephesians 4, 30 and 32. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. A lot of us as Christians, and rightly so, we think we grieve the Holy Spirit based upon our actions. It's true. Did you also know that you can grieve the Holy Spirit of God by your feelings? The Holy Spirit doesn't just care about what you do, he cares about how you feel. So let's look at the verse together. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. The old translations say it this way. Do not grieve the Spirit of God. Think about that word, grieve. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by the way you live. Instead, get rid of all bitterness. What's bitterness? It's not an action, it's a feeling. I just hate everybody. Why? I'm a Christian. Get rid of all bitterness, all rage. All anger, harsh words, that includes text, Facebook users, all caps. And let me tell you something, this is a huge problem in our culture, slander. America is a slanderous nation. We speak horrible things about people with no evidence and no proof. And you know what breaks my heart? When I see Christians do it. Oh, it has to be true. Why? Because you heard it? Instead, be kind to each other. Wow, there's a shocker. Tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as Christ has forgiven you. This is a letter to another church with the same problem. You see, the reason we're critical is because we've forgotten to be thankful for what Jesus has done for us. If there's one thing God can't stand, it's Christians who've been given mercy that can't give it. Last point. What I'm pouring into my life is pouring out of me. What are you pouring into your life? What are you allowing in? Even if you're a Christian, you're a sponge. And what's poured into you stays inside you. What are you watching? What are you reading? What are you exposing yourself to? Colossians 3, 16 and 17, we're gonna close Colossians with these words. Let the message about Christ, underline these words, in all its richness, fill your lives. I love it when I meet people. Oh, you're a pastor, huh? Yeah, I read the Bible. I say, you read the Bible? Every day. People read it once. Yeah, I got this story. Nah. It's not you getting the story, it's the story getting you. That's what you got. That's what has to happen. Has the story gotten you? Let the message of Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Listen to me, parents. You want smart kids? You want wise kids? Teach them the Bible. One of the reasons our culture is so stupid is we've disconnected from the Word of God, and we don't have rich lives. Teach and counsel one another with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God with what? Thankful hearts. And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to him, to God the Father. Do you know why many people are not interested in becoming a Christian? Because they've met one. Like, I'm good. We're good. Let me ask you a couple of questions. The first question I want to ask you is this: what messages are pouring into me? Many of you are very politically passionate. Let me unequivocally say, I don't care whether you're on the left or the right, you're being used. You're a tool. You're being used. Politics is about power. Christ has called you to humility. What are you allowing into you? What are you passionate about? Next, where do I get my wisdom?
Well, I read it on the internet, so it must be true.
Here's the scary thing about the internet. It is full of misinformation. I know many of you have heard in the news about Donald Trump and collusion with Russia and this and that. Here's the thing that breaks my heart. What is true, without any shadow of a doubt, is that Russia was playing both sides and pouring hateful things into both sides. And many of you have been fed a pack of lies by someone who only cares about your demise. And whether you're on the left or the right, that concerns, it should concern you. Where do I get my wisdom? Let me ask you this question. Who are you listening to? And let me ask you another question. If all your friends are stupid, what does that say about you? Where do I get my wisdom? Let me ask you this question. What songs am I singing? Like, if you're a parent and you're over 40, raise your hands. You ever done this? Oh my gosh, kids, listen to this song. This is one of my favorite songs. Oh God, turn it down. Right, because you listen with different ears when you're a parent. When you're a kid, you're like. And then you become a parent, you're like, oh God. What are you singing? What are you singing? I don't care what you're listening to. I don't care what genre it is. Almost all music is bad. The message. And I used to fight, that's not true. You're just old people. Now I'm like, I'm an old person. That's true. And even the songs, I'm like, I go back and I'm like, good God. Right? Tell my kids, oh my gosh, it's 80s weekend. Let's watch a bunch of movies. No! What songs are you singing? What's in your head? Here's the thing. You know what comes out of your mouth? What's in your heart? Listen to our culture's music. What's in our hearts? It's in the songs we sing. We're broken. Last question. How are people experiencing Jesus in me? How are they experiencing? Had a real low moment on vacation 2 weeks ago. My son was super concerned. I'm not proud about this. My son was super concerned about the fires burning in Malibu. This is what came out of my mouth. They're rich, they'll be fine. My 16-year-old, who happens to go to the church that his dad leads, is like, isn't that funny? As a 16-year-old, he knows that was of the devil. As a 47-year-old pastor who loves Jesus, I was unaware of that. Let me ask you this question, dads. How do your kids experience your political commentary and your commentary on what's going on in the world? I had to go back to my son. I said, son, what I said was wrong. I said, we do need to pray for those people in Malibu. There's no excuse. There's no excuse. Fire is terrible and it's awful. You see, as Christians, God hasn't just called us to care for poor people. He's called us to care for people, regardless of the dollar signs in their bank account. And as a pastor and a Christian, I failed. And I said, would you forgive me? He said, well, I know what you meant, Dad. I said, I know you do. That's why I'm apologizing. I said, I was wrong. Listen, I don't know where you are today, but if there's an area in your life where you've allowed a critical spirit to get a hold of you, would you just repent of that today? Would you just let that go? And right now, in this time, would you just begin to just mention a couple things to God? What are you thankful for? Let's start with your salvation. Let's talk about your inheritance in an unshakable kingdom. Let's talk about your future. Let's talk about God's love for you. What are the things you're thankful for? And then let's move into a time of repentance where we repent of the things we're critical of. It's easy to be critical. It's hard to follow Christ. But here's the good news. That Holy Spirit that maybe you're grieving, it doesn't want to be grieved. It wants to come alongside and encourage you and champion you and strengthen you and teach you to have the kind of heart Jesus wants you to have, a grateful, thankful heart. And I got good news for you. You don't have to change your heart on your own. Jesus will change it if you let him. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you loved us, that you chose us, that you found us, that you have saved us. Lord, I know so many of us are prone to look at all of the things that are going wrong. Lord, we tend to remember all the prayers that weren't answered in the way that we think they should be answered. And Lord, we're not good at remembering the prayers you did answer, the gifts you did give, and the things that you have done. So God, as your children, we say we're sorry. And we ask for your forgiveness in Jesus' name. We ask in his name, in his powerful name, Lord, that you pull this critical spirit out of us. And Lord, we would no longer grieve your Holy Spirit, but we would welcome him. Lord, we would invite him to empower us and strengthen us to be the people you've called us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.